And now, Hard Facts.
Hard Facts with Dio.
You're welcome back to Hard Facts on 92.3 Nigeria Info and her input Hackard. I'm Dio. 6 minutes gone past 4 o'clock. Discussions continue now. And with this story, it's from the Vanguard. It's been a year. It's been a year. Remarkable indeed. Since the hashtag NSAS protest, which was ignited in Lagos and swept round, engulfed the entire country, leading to what some have described as some of the darkest moments in the history of our nation. And investigations are still on to unravel what many claim happened across the country, and especially at the Lekki toll gate, which, of course, government and its supporters deny ever happened. But hopefully these investigations will be concluded, and we will get to the root and bottom of what really happened across the country, and especially at the Lekki toll gate. We can find closure and, most importantly, get justice. Whichever way the pendulum does fall, of course. All right, but that said, to the matter at hand today, story cut of Vanguard newspaper. NSAS will use legitimate means within constitutional powers to suppress planned protests. That's CP Odumosu. Now, to the story. Commissioner of Police, Lagos State Command, Hakim Odumosu, on Monday announced that the police will use all legitimate means within their constitutional powers to suppress any planned protest. Odumosu said that credible intelligence at the disposal of the command has revealed clandestine plans by some youths, individuals or groups to embark on protests today in commemoration of 1 year anniversary of NSAS. According to Odumosu, Lagosians and indeed Nigerians cannot afford to relive the distasteful experience of last year's protests, which caused pain, anguish, needless loss of lives, and wanton destruction of public and private property. In view of the volatility of the present situation in the country and the breakdown of law and order which the planned protest might cause, the Lagos State Police Command sternly warns against any form of protest today. The command wishes to use this medium to warn the youths, groups or associations planning such protests to jettison the idea forthwith. The police in the state would not fold their arms and allow some misguided element to disrupt the peace and serenity currently being enjoyed in the state. To forestall breakdown of law and order, the police will use all legitimate means within their constitutional powers to suppress the planned protest. Therefore, parents and guardians are advised to warn their children against participating in the planned protest. Individuals or groups sponsoring such protests are also warned in their own interest to desist from such unpatriotic plan or face the full weight or wrath of the law. Meanwhile, all law-abiding residents of the state are advised to go about their legitimate businesses without fear of harassment or intimidation, as adequate additional security measures have been put in place to ensure protection of their lives and property today and even beyond. Well, joining me via our phone right now for this conversation, does the police have powers or any constitutional powers as claimed to suppress a planned protest, according to CP Odumosu? My guest is a former chairman, Nigeria Bar Association, Amak Branch. He is also an associate professor of public law at the River State University, Barrister Richard Wokocha. Barrister Wokocha has joined me via phone. Good evening, you're welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dario. Good evening, Nigeria.
Let's talk about, let's start with the issue of protesting itself, generally speaking. Do citizens have a right to embark on a protest? Are there special conditions in which those rights can be exercised? Or better still, I think I'd phrase it this way. To what extent are the rights of citizens, or to what extent do citizens have a right to protest if they do have that right in the first place?
The Constitution of Nigeria guarantees the right of citizens, two basic rights that taken together clearly establish the right to protest. First, there is a right to peaceful assembly and association guaranteed by Section 40 of the current Constitution of Nigeria. And then there is the right to freedom of expression guaranteed by Section 39 of the same Constitution. These two rights taken together mean that you can express yourself An expression includes the right to express your dissent to any issue, including public issues, government programs, or government opinions, or opinions held by other people. You have a right to express it and to publicize it, to the hearing and consideration of others. Now, when you take this together with the right to freedom of movement and association, it guarantees your right to move around, right to freedom of peaceful assembly and association. It guarantees your right to assemble with others on any issue and to express any issue. The only condition is defined in the very words of that section, right to peaceful assembly. So, short of conducting yourself in a manner that is not peaceful, there is a right to assemble and to protest or express a different opinion from public opinion or government opinion or on any issue whatsoever. It's a fundamental right guaranteed by Chapter 4 of the Constitution.
Now, the people, the people have to gather to express this disenchantment, if you will, with whatever actions or inactions of government they may have a problem with. Because if you stay in your home, you can express that displeasure. Maybe at your place of work, you can express that displeasure. Or if you meet up with friends at the car wash anywhere in Port Harcourt or anywhere outside Port Harcourt this evening after work, you can express that displeasure over some cold bottles as well. Most people gather with your friends,
yeah, you can express it to your friends.
Yes.
But as a citizen and a stakeholder and a person who is also affected by the policy about which you are talking, you are entitled to express that dissent. It's a right to dissent. You are entitled to dissent to the opinion of government on that issue. You are entitled to tell the government. You can rent a space in the media, electronic media, and express it. You can also express it physically. You also have the right, together with others, to march peacefully on the road, for public attention to be drawn to the dissenting opinion you are holding, and to express them to government if you can walk up to the government or representatives of government. These are all within your rights. Whichever you choose to do is the one you have chosen. By which you want to express your dissent. But as to whether you have the right to do so, yes, the Constitution guarantees that right. You can march on the road by the side without blocking vehicles from passing and without blocking other citizens who are going about their legitimate businesses. Once you are not obstructing anybody and obstructing the law, you are acting within your right.
Let's talk about that for a bit, because in explaining these rights as guaranteed in the Constitution a while ago, you talked about how it has to be peaceful. If you want to gather, it has to be peacefully. However, more often than not, whenever these protests take place, they are not, how do I put this? I'm being careful not to use the word, not to say they are not peaceful, but what I'm trying to say is they do infringe or impinge, if you will, on the rights of other persons. For example, if depending on how large the protests are or the number of persons who gather for this protest, it might inhibit the free flow of traffic or in some cases even entirely block traffic, as we witnessed at the Lekki toll gate sometime last year, I think. And even in instances where there is no deliberate effort to block traffic, because of the number of persons who have gathered, it inevitably becomes the case. We have seen deliberate efforts as well, even here in River State, where either students or other person block off sections of the East-West Road in a bid to express their displeasure with some government action or inaction. Now, in such cases, are these persons within their rights to constitute themselves in a way, albeit peacefully, but in expressing the displeasure with government or government policies, their actions then affect the abilities of other persons from carrying out their own legal activities as well?
Certainly not. Now, for you to exercise your right to peaceful assembly and association, you must bring yourself within the confines of the Constitution. It is your responsibility, whether a crowd is small or large, to ensure that it does not impede the effective usage of the environment in which you are carrying out your protest. If you have a few people, or you have a few thousands or a million, it is your responsibility to arrange them in a way that you cannot obstruct others. Because once it becomes difficult for vehicles to pass, or for other citizens going about their lot legitimate business, to go about their legitimate business, you are now infringing on the rights of other citizens, either the motorist or the pedestrian who is walking by. So at that point, you are infringing their constitutional rights. And at that point, government has responsibility to protect them by coming in to dispatch you or to ensure that you stop infringing on the rights of others. So it is the responsibility of organizers of protests to ensure that they keep the protest within the law. Because once they get outside the law, it raises a responsibility on government, as government, to stop them so that they can protect the rights of other citizens who are affected or impeded by the protest that has not gone according to the law.
Where is the place of civil disobedience in all of this? And for the sake of persons who may not completely get civil disobedience, I'll read out a definition here. Now, civil disobedience is the active, professed refusal of a citizen to obey certain laws, demands, orders, or commands of a government, corporation, or other authority. Now, by some definitions, civil disobedience has to be non-violent to be called civil. Hence, civil disobedience is sometimes equated with peaceful protest or non-violent resistance. So, what's the place of that in protest that's considered peaceful and that is guaranteed in the Constitution?
Now, civil disobedience is slightly different ballgame. As the expression itself says, it involves disobedience, meaning that you have to refuse to do what is lawfully communicated to you or what you have a legal responsibility to do. So that goes beyond peaceful protest and goes into like resisting what you consider to be either unnatural or immoral or abnormal, over which you are insisting that government should rethink its policy. Now, the second very important thing about civil disobedience is that it is about committing an offense and being willing to face the consequences of the offense. So civil disobedience, if you receive a lawful instruction, if you are marching and you conduct yourself in a manner that is inconsistent with the law, for instance, you block the road and you are ordered to leave the road, you say no. In protest, you are not leaving the road. It means you are prepared to be arrested for violating the instruction that you should unblock the road. And you are ready to face the consequences of conviction for blocking the road and to do the time. So civil disobedience is a willful submission to the consequences of a disobedience based on your moral reasoning that what you are disobeying is not supposed to be. So it is different from peaceful protest, which ought not to have any consequence on you because it's an expression of right. Right that is guaranteed by the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. So one is about being lawful and passing your message in a lawful manner. The other one is being willing to suffer inconvenience to break some law or disobey some lawful instruction in order for you to pass the message in a strong way, including being prepared to face the consequences of breaking the law and not resisting it.
All right, let's go back to the issue of to peaceful protest strictly now. You say it's guaranteed by sections in our Constitution. You've explained that in some detail. As far as the provisions of the law are concerned, are there restrictions, are there circumstances or situations in which the law prescribes that it becomes illegal for citizens to embark on a protest?
Taking the provision of Section 45, which legitimizes laws reasonably necessary in a democratic society, which permits the government to, by law, restrict certain rights, which of course include the right of assembly, expression, and the rest of them. in appropriate situations where laws have been made to address such issues, it will become legitimate for the state to prevent that. We can take an example from the recent and the ongoing COVID scenario. Now, if there is prohibition of movement, if you know, runs against your rights under the Constitution, yes, it's clearly against your right to freedom of movement under the Constitution, which is guaranteed by Section 41. But you find that in that circumstance, that prohibition is legitimate because that law is reasonably necessary in a society in which there is an outbreak of a disease. Your freedom of expression of your freedom by moving around freely will translate to freedom to carry the disease from one point to another point and to endanger citizens who are at those points. And government has a responsibility to stop the spread of the disease and to protect citizens who are not yet infected. So in such scenario, again, if there is an outbreak of war and movement is restricted, it is legitimate. Such law restricting, of course, this must be done by law. Such law restricting it will be legitimate on that ground that what you want to do, even though it's within your right, may exacerbate the situation that the country is facing. You can also have a situation where there is serious ethnic tension between ethnic groups in the country, and the government prohibits the making of certain utterances that will be designed to create one group against the other. In such circumstance, such law will also be considered reasonably necessary in a democratic society, because government has a responsibility to do something to forestall the occurrence of the inevitable in the event that people are allowed to attack each other verbally that way, and the occasion serious crisis, which will include loss of lives, as a history and experience has shown. So those are some circumstances in which government can, by law, take those steps. But if you do not enact a law, whether it is at National Assembly, the State House of Assembly, or a regulation made by a government, puts one to the provisions of law that has empowered them to do so, whether it is by a state government or by a local government authority, insofar as the law permits them to take those steps. If it's not contained in any of such laws, you cannot just say, no, this thing you are doing will be harmful. You cannot do it when it is a right. So the right procedure also has to be followed by the government that wants to prohibit or that wants to restrict the exercise of those rights in those circumstances. But in ordinary circumstances where there are no such things, in ordinary circumstances where there are no such immediate threats and serious threats, you cannot just make a law prohibiting the rights of citizens because you think exercise of those rights will be inimical. No, there has to be an appropriate situation for that law to be reasonably necessary in a democratic or modern society.
Now, and I imagine that in cases where government does have a reasonable ground or even legal backing to stop a planned protest, I mean, agents of government such as the police will be required or employed in effecting that ban. Am I correct?
Certainly. The police will have the cardinal responsibility to do that.
Now, speaking specifically, because I mean that's the essence of this conversation we're having, or that's the foundation of this conversation, speaking specifically to the NSAS situation, we had a protest across the country about a year ago. It sparked off some violent reactions or responses as well in different parts of the country. A year afterwards, some Nigerians in Lagos and possibly other parts of the country have expressed an intention to embark on protest, for some of them as some sort of a memorial to what happened about a year ago. The police in Lagos have said that they will use legitimate means within constitutional powers to suppress planned protests. Now, does the situation or the scenario we are presented with at the moment, is it similar to any of those conditions you described a while ago, in which the government, using its agents such as the police, to clamp down or suppress such a planned protest?
I would say no. Protest in itself is not the problem. Now, what happened a year ago is that elements, negative elements casting on it, including some cases where continuously evidence they appear to be active state in instrument of violence by introducing parties, other parties, to attack those who are protesting peacefully. Now, the protest itself was not the problem. It was what happened over the protest that generated problems. So to say that you are going to stifle the right to protest because last time there was protest, violence broke out, it's to say you are suspending the constitution. Besides, there is no law that counters the constitutional provision at the moment that declares protest illegal. Such law does not exist at the moment. So what law will the police be enforcing by preventing protest? Their responsibility is to provide security for those protesting, ensure that they do not go beyond their lawful scope. And if they do, arrest them promptly and prosecute them for violating the law by causing a breach of the peace or affecting the rights of others. That is what is done in democratic societies, and that's what is expected to be done by the Nigerian police. And not to say that nobody must protest. If you protest, we are going to do everything within our means. What I have said that is what the law expects you to do when there is a protest, and not to dispatch people who are protesting within their rights and protesting peacefully. A threat of protest is not a threat to the interest of the country, unless the threat of protest is a protest addressing an issue that in itself now amounts to a threat. But if it is that lawful steps have not been taken to address lawful complaints made over the unlawful activities of agencies of government, that's not a reason to say that you will stop people. As I said, there is no law that will be enforced by stopping people from protesting, because at the moment there is no law that counters the provisions of the Constitution.
But ever so often we have observed whenever protest takes place, maybe not every time, obviously, but, well, enough times, we've seen that whenever these protests do take place by peaceful protesters, albeit, we do have unscrupulous elements who try to take advantage of the situation for their own criminal tendencies and benefits. It leads to looting, it leads to robbery sometimes, and even some other really bad situations.
Yeah. What I expect the police to do, and what is expected of the police in democratic society, is to say, recall that last year when you had this protest, there were abuses that arose out of it. There were damages, remediable and irremediable, persons killed, and all that. We are warning that whoever is organizing this must ensure that they are within the law. If they go beyond the law, they will face the full consequences of violating the law. That is what is expected of the police in the event that the citizens plan the protest, and not to say that, no, you must not protest. You need to have something that you are lawfully enforcing for you to say, no, people must not exercise their rights. And at the moment, there is no law restraining people from protesting over government not carrying out a reform or completing what they promised to do and all that. They cannot legitimately say, no, you must not protest. If you protest, we will use every force within the law to deal with you. No. What they should say is, if you want to protest, be mindful that you will be fully responsible for anything unlawful that arises from the protest. And not to say people should not exercise their right to protest or to defend from government positions.
It is Hard Factor 913 Nigeria Info here in Port Harcourt. The police in Lagos, or the CP in Lagos, has stated that they will use their constitutional powers to suppress planned NSAS protest by guest barrister Okocha Jomi Vafan. A break right now. We'll return in a moment. Conversation will continue. And you're welcome to join in as well via the usual platforms. Do please stay with us.
And now, Hard Facts.
With Dion.
Welcome back. Still Hard Facts to Nigeria. Info and her input, Harcourt. I'm Dio. 23 minutes to go before 5 o'clock. We've got the news updated at 5. Still joined by Barrister Rachel Bokocha via phone, and we're discussing the situation in Lagos. We'll use legitimate means within constitutional powers to suppress planned protest. That's the police commissioner in Lagos, Sipi Odemosu, in reference to planned NSAS memorial protests. Barrister Bokocha, you're welcome once again.
Thank you,
David. You're welcome to join the conversation right now via the usual platforms. We're live on facebook.com/NigeriaInfoPH, live on YouTube as well. Let's search for NigeriaInfoPH. The number to call 0817-93-0002, 0817-93-0003 or 0007. WhatsApp is on 0809-030-6416. That's 0809-030-6416. Via WhatsApp, that in this present Buhari and APC-led government, protest is a crime, an anti-government, but in my own opinion, and I'll advise organizers not to protest because there is high tension in Nigeria today because of insecurity and unemployment. The Nigerian police is supposed to protect the protesters, but the opposite will be the case. The youth should channel all their energy now and organize themselves for 2023 elections. They should get involved in politics and try to change the systematic failures. That's what Bumarege. I've got a Johnson on the line. Hello, Johnson. You're welcome. Please go on.
Hello. Good evening.
Go ahead, Johnson.
I'm a local. Please. The council, they have explained to us. I want to know the issue of government. Government, is it a native authority that is in government? Can they face what we call the red chief movement? And for how long? How long can you have to run into scenario that government, the government will bring coffee with the chief movement, the new government with the chief movement, and the other authorities, and they can keep a place for over three years. Do we have, can they receive perpetually so that people do not have movement or assembly perpetually?
Is there, so Johnson, is there any place where movements have been restricted perpetually?
Yes.
Where is
that? We had example like that in Ikot Ekweri. The local government keep on us. And we came again and we fell upon the restriction of the state government, and we were stopped for nearly 3 years. It's just a few months ago that we were even kidnapped.
What was the reason for the restriction in Ikot Ekweri?
Sorry?
What was the reason given for the restriction of movement in Ikot Ekweri?
Security. We have security challenge.
Well, so Johnson, just to be clear, just to be clear, are you saying that movement in Ikot Ekweri was restricted for 3 years?
Yes, pandemic came upon it. The pandemic you mentioned came upon, which was right, but we had already had existing restriction.
Restriction was restriction of what nature? Was it a curfew or? Blanket restriction, no movement at all.
It was a curfew.
Okay, all right. Okay, Johnson, your concerns noted. But Barrister, before you respond to that, please, let's take another call right now. Hello, Hard Fact, welcome.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, go ahead.
Yes, the statement from the CP shows how Nigerian citizens are being disrespected. The level of disrespect they have for Nigerian citizens. Now, the protest was just a wake-up call for the police or for the heads of the department to correct some wrongs in the police system. A policeman will see somebody on the road, the innocent person without any arms, they will slap and beat, and just because maybe the person just walking on the road, you start his phone and harass the person. And these people came out and said, look, we want you to correct these errors. That is just what these people are demanding for. For me, I will channel my blame to the barristers and to the judges. Because these policemen are caught red-handed in some activities they've indulged with. And when the matter is being presented to the court, and they're not sending these people to jail, what do you expect these people to do? You're sending them back to the society to do more harm to these people. You know, recently we've been having cases of staff and other policemen harassing innocent Nigerians, taking money from them, and nothing is being done. So my blame is channeled to the judges, the lawyers, the barristers, people that are the last hope for the common man. Thank you, Mr. Dyer.
How are the lawyers exactly to blame here? I don't get that part.
Yes. I blame them specifically because now, the last incident that happened was it the case of this boy Slick, the musician,
okay,
they killed along the road. This policeman that did this crime, that committed this crime, the names of these persons you mentioned, not just only that, to my friend about the same thing.
Yeah.
These policemen, hello?
Yes, go on.
Yes, their names were mentioned. It was something. Okay, the boy.
Let's move this along. What are lawyers supposed to do about it exactly?
Now, the matter has been presented to them. They will keep adjoining.
No. Hold on. This way, the matter is not presented to lawyers. The matter is being prosecuted. Lawyers are not the ones who are going to determine the outcome of the matter. Usually a judge does that. Lawyers simply argue cases in favor of or against, whoever is in court. It's not...
So we now try... Okay, for me, I'm not saying we, because the blame are supposed to go to the judges.
But great to hear from you, sir. Great to hear from you. Barrister, over to you now. Let's start with the concern of, I think it was Johnson who called earlier, talking about some restriction to movement for about 3 years in Ikotek. But now you're taking that. Then are you and your colleagues to blame for the high-handedness of this police office, our gallant officers sometimes?
As exciting as it was, let's ask you where you have indicated. You can't have a perpetual restriction. And what he described is not a blanket restriction of movement of 24 hours. So I think he was saying a slightly different thing from what he meant, or what he meant is slightly different than the expressions he was using generally and generously. Can we have a situation over a long time where certain hours of the day are restricted, people or citizens are restricted from moving? If there is incursion, for example, from a neighboring place and criminals keep coming in and fighting them is difficult when innocent citizens are also moving around, and it becomes necessary to restrict the movement of people so that we know that the only people we are seeing moving around at that time are the people we are looking for. That could be legitimate. Whether it can last in perpetuity is a different question. But when the need is there, then applying that tool will be legitimate application of restriction. But you can't have a general restriction of movement. Nobody should move 24 hours perpetually, or even for some hours of the day in perpetuity. It is still self right. There has to be legitimate reasons that are considered reasonably necessary in the modern society before such imposition of restriction can be legitimate. Now, on the second question, we are definitely not to blame. I think the gentleman is simply using the fact that the legal profession covers both those on the bench and those at the bar. Judges, we are lawyers, right? Yes, before they became judges, that's completely correct. So if he uses lawyers in that sense, and he means those who judge cases, then he means what he said at the end, that he's talking of those who are involved in the adjudication. But mind you, too, that much of his position is legitimate, you also have positions where a lot depends on the executive. The judges give judgment. It is the responsibility of the executive to enforce the judgment. So if there are cases that have lasted forever and the judges have appeared unable to give judgment on the cases, we can blame them there. But if there are cases in which cases were not proved, allegations were not proved and the court gave judgment, or cases were proved and the court gave judgment, but society has not seen the application of that judgment, that's entirely executive recklessness and nothing to do with the judiciary, the court, or the legal profession.
On via Facebook, Adam Quira goes, in advanced countries, protest is one means of expressing the people's feelings, but here in Nigeria, protest is a crime, I weep for this country. Dennis Godwin goes, I'm in support of police stopping the protest ever since SARS was disbanded. The crime has increased, including Yahoo. There are 5M was taken from my uncle last week. That is activities of fraudsters called Yahoo. So as far as for me, I hate to see any protest against the police. All right. Prince Rianwa goes, I strongly support a peaceful protest any day, anytime, and for those planning a peaceful protest in memorial of lives lost 2010-2020, more grease to your elbows. Let's go back to WhatsApp now. Nigerian police protested a few months ago at the National Assembly because of poor welfare. Police didn't stop that, but once it concerns the masses, they begin to wield power and strength. Buhari's administration is anti-democratic in norms and principles. This will continue until this current set of leaders leave office, but the state and federal government do not welcome protests. A country that doesn't value the rights of citizens, this government is ready to kill and frame up anyone ready to protest any of the government using the police as a tool, as some Ezekiel, and also via WhatsApp. Good evening, Dying Prof. I want to thank Prof for separating peaceful protest from civil disobedience, which is what the Lekki protest eventually spiraled into before same was hijacked by criminals, even here in Oyibo. We are aware that federal high courts in several instances have ruled that Public Order Act is illegal. And Professor, Prof, believe that Act stands abrogated, meaning Nigerians do not need police permit to protest. We also know that several federal high courts in several instances as well have ruled that police have no power to parade criminal suspects. But the Nigerian police keeps violating both rulings. Prof, what can we as Nigerians do to enforce this ruling? Start some text. Rashida, did you get that?
Yes, I think I got to the extent that courts have ruled saying that police restriction of protest is illegal, but that the police has continued to violate that clear position, legal position that the court has expressed. I got up to that point. I guess the next thing he said was, what can Nigerians do about it?
Well, he also referenced parading criminals as well, that the courts have ruled as illegal.
Yes. Another one that the court has
ruled. Then he asked what Nigerians can do to enforce those rulings.
Okay. I think what Nigerians can do is exercise their at this point, it still has to be constitutional rights, not revolutionary rights. We can protest. We can do petitions to appropriate agencies. We can deploy all manner of civil protests that are within the law to drive on what we are talking about. Such we can do. The next thing we have to do then is perhaps when all that do not work, is to try to use protest as a defense. We do what we have to do, and we do it after courts have made declaration. We do what we have to do within our rights, and where we are arrested, we bring in the fact that we are acting within our rights and enforcing, as it were, a court declaration in our favor. For instance, if I want to protest and say protest is illegal, and I go to court and the court says it's legal, then I act within the judgment of the court and within the ambit of the law. And if you arrest me and charge me for protesting, I can simplify the judgment of the court and the law the court prepared to say that you ought not to charge me, and I cite that as a defense. I can get after using proceed to ask for damages for wrongful arrest and charging, especially in the face of a clear definition of the legal position by the court.
Mm. All right,
I think those are some of the steps I can take.
Well, we got Johnny from our band. The line, Johnny, you're welcome. Let's go.
Good evening.
All right, go ahead.
I'm being calling another person speaking before where you are still talking. That's why I caught many times. So,
Johnny, the person you spoke to earlier is called Screener, and that's the process. So you speak to that person first before you get transferred to the live studio. So go ahead, Johnny.
Okay. I don't know. Yes, I want to add my voice to the discussion now in focus.
Go ahead, Johnny.
Like I heard from the barrister that citizens of this country have their right to protest because it is there in the constitution. So why is it that when people have been aggrieved and they want to show that their grievance through peaceful protest, when they come outside to show their grievance through the peaceful protest that is in the constitution, the security men will come out, openly fire them with live bullet guns, instead of following them to make sure that there will be no destruction of properties and so on, like I know that it's been done both here before now in this Nigeria and outside country. The security men have to guide them so that there will be no destruction of properties. But instead of that, they open live bullets on these protesters. Is it that the constitution has changed? Or that somebody who is in power says there'll be no protest? Is that what I want to know?
Johnny, good to hear from you. So, in summary, Barrister, I would surmise his position to, or his question to, what do you, in your estimation, why, because it appears that, you know, government in Nigeria are anti-protest of any kind, even the most peaceful of protests. Why do you think that's the case? If you could give a response in about a minute as we wrap it up.
What I think is the disconnect between government and citizens. Government appear not to be very worried about how citizens rate them. Because if they were, as governments are in countries where citizens effectively elect their leaders, they will be worried about the next election and they will behave in a more responsible and responsive manner. So I think that disconnects the fact that somehow government finds its way to government house in Nigeria, whether or not people like it. It's the reason why they disrespect the people.
All right. I think we have to wrap up the conversation on that note. Many thanks for joining, especially my guests. But before then, via WhatsApp, hello, Diet, where we might blame lawyers in the police maltreatment of citizens is in the area of spreading the gospel of our rights, legal aid and education of citizens. More should be done. Well, I believe we are doing that at the moment with Barrister Okocha and a few others who always oblige us their time whenever we reach out to them. Thanks to my guest, Barrister Richard Okocha is former chairman of Nigeria Bar Association Lombok Branch and Associate Professor of Public Law at the River State University. Barrister Okocha, thanks for your time.
Always a duty, boy.